I was in here from the room, and I'll die in here.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Medical Wednesday broadcast with your host, our Colonel, Miss Kimberly Purvis. La 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 la. Sorry. Tripping over my tongue. Be sure to check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout all we do here in the Defenders 7. Check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're live on MeWe. Click on Communities. Scroll down. Defenders 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Yep, that's right, folks. We are not a militia. For tonight's broadcast and all the broadcasts we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy when you call in and participate. That number to call is area code 914-205-5773. Too shy to talk on the phone. We're also live during each broadcast in our chat room right here on Blog Talk Radio. So by all means, check us out. Pick one or the other and participate in each of our broadcasts. Now, without further ado, allow me to bring and introduce you to your host, our Colonel, Miss Kimberly Purvis.
Hello.
Hello.
So how you doing?
Hanging in there, you?
Well, not too bad, you know. So I got great news. Yay! I finally get to go see the surgeon. You know, most people wouldn't be happy about that shit. But... I'm telling you, I'm glad because I'm over this leg pain, this knee pain is killing me. It's friggin' horrible.
I hear you.
Yeah, nothing's worse than, I don't know what was worse, the shoulder. Well, I don't know. I think the knee thing is worse because you got to walk on your with your legs. Shoulder, you don't put any body weight on it, you know, so, and you can always, I had use of my shoulder, but it's nothing like this knee pain, and, you know, you're putting body weight on it and all that crap, and I think I went 2 weeks, it's minimal pain. No, that shit's back, it's back. So I'm like, yeah, this sucks. It's awful. But, yeah,
it's
like,
getting old, man.
It does suck getting old. and being broken. So, yeah, I mean, I get a new doctor at the VA, and she asked me, yeah, she's pissed because the other doctor didn't do shit for me. And this is the reason why, I say, you know, if there's something wrong with you, you know, don't sit back and not do anything about it. You know your body and shit. And I got tired of it. So I got a new doctor, and I get an EKG to do on this Friday. And then on April 14th, I have an echo. On Tuesday, I have the surgeons for my knee. And then I have to have an upper and lower GI done. It's just all the shit that my doctors never took care of. She just, you know, fuck it. Let it go, you know? So.
Right.
But that's all right. I'm getting it taken care of. So that's why I say don't ignore shit. You know.
Oh, you mean don't go away if you ignore it?
Huh?
It don't go away if you ignore it?
Nope.
Damn.
No, not at all. here's one thing, though. A few of my residents, they kept saying, man, I'm sick. I don't feel good. I don't feel good. Something's not right. You know, and everybody dismisses them because they're paranoid, schizophrenic, or whatever issues they have, right? And everyone wants to just dismiss it. So I send this one resident out. And the hospital sends him back. The problem. You know, the ER did. They just sent him back home. 4 or 5 days later, he's even sicker. And EMS actually showed up to pick up his mom, but she's a whole other nightmare in herself, too. And they're like, you know what? We're not, seeing as she refused, we're taking him. They kept him in the hospital for a friggin' week, and he was septic. And had a UTI and got sicker and sicker and sicker. And that's part. And three of my residents were septic, all because they had UTIs and nobody would listen to them. I mean, I can only do so much, you know, and because I got 100 residents that I got to take care of. And so,
right.
Which is the other, just part of the other problem of, you know, people want to piss and moan about, oh, I got to take care of. No, listen, I don't want to hear shit from anybody. Inevitably, I'm responsible for 100 people in that building. No.
Right.
Hey, hold on a second. I'm still on call, so give me a second, okay?
Go ahead. Hope everyone's doing well tonight. Would love to have more call-ins. I know our colonel is on call tonight for her job, but that number to call, again, is area code 914-205-5773. Come on in and give us your thoughts. Participate in the conversation because we enjoy it. Always a lot of good, informative information that we try to pass on. So by all means, call in or check in on our chat room right here on Blog Talk.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. one of our new residents, we got five new residents, and with controlled medications, the pharmacy can't send them unless the script is sent in by the doctor, and she just saw him today. So I'm hoping he gets it, you know, because I'm like, oh, I ain't gonna do this shit tonight.
Right. I hear that.
So, Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, a lot of our, and here's something that, and I hope if you're listening and you're in the medical field, and if you do this, you know what? Shame on you. And I'm sorry to say this. If you're in the medical field and all you do is piss and moan about your residents or patients or whatever, you know, you got into the field for a reason. And you got to be ashamed of yourself. Okay? I'm just saying that if this is you. We have some staff that, okay, I work in an assisted living. Not your typical assisted living, because most assisted living have a shit ton of staff, like CNAs, CMAs, more than one nurse. I mean, yes, I have another nurse that she does upstairs, but she has 40 residents. I have 45, plus we got some new ones. But overall, I'm still responsible for everybody. And the ones upstairs are the ones like, you know, me and you. The walk, you know, they don't have walkers, they don't have a cane, you know, all of that shit. You can pretty well take care of yourself. The only problem is a majority of them are paranoid, schizophrenic, bipolar, whatever. They make bad life choices, don't pay the bills, and end up homeless or not taking their meds and shit like that, right? Well, a few of our staff, just a handful, there's quite a few, especially downstairs, in wheelchairs, power chairs. They're diabetic. You know what I'm saying? They need more care. Well, they don't belong in this facility. They just need to be sent to long-term care. Well, first of all, we're assisted living. Henceforth, it's in the name. Assisted, you know what I'm saying? Assisted. And there's a few staff that they piss and moan all the time. And I'm like, no, you just don't want to take. What they want, the kind of residents they want, are the ones that stay in their apartments and only come out for meals. They're not diabetics. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I think it's time for you to find a new profession. You know, yes, I'm going to say something. My job, my residents will drive you to drink, okay? They really will. Oh, they make me want to drink every day. But do I do that?
Is that why you drink every day?
I wish. But you know what? My liver says, nah, don't do it. So, which is why I quit drinking. I don't want to push that envelope with my liver.
Right.
But no, you know what I mean? It's like, I love my residents. I'm like, do you have any complaints? They're like, well, no, I want to know so I can fix it. And that's what I've been doing the last couple of weeks, is trying to fix things, because yes, it's broke. Yes, it can be fixed. So, you know, I love taking care of them. Yes, some of them are needy as shit. They're worse than two-year-olds. But I sit and I listen.
Oh, kind of like Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like Phil. but no, you know what I'm saying? I love my residents, and it's like, it's not hard to take 2 minutes of my time to sit there and say, well, what's bothering you? You know what I'm saying? Physical, mental, whatever, or health-wise. And then, you know, okay, I'll call your doctor, or I'll call our nurse practitioner, because our doctor's crazy as shit, and he needs to retire. And it's a good thing he only comes by once a month, and he'll see, like, a handful of residents and then leave. And, yeah, he needs to retire, like, now. But it's okay. It's whatever. And so the nurse practitioner is there twice a week, and I text her up until 9 o'clock, and then after 9, it's and she's on call every day. Every day. And she's got 3 facilities to deal with, which is our 3 facilities. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta love your job and love taking care of your patients, residents, whatever, you know. And because the way I look at it, what if that was your mom or your dad, your grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, brothers, sisters, cousins, mothers, you know, the whole little spiel. What if it was your family member? Would you want some asshole
right.
yelling at them?
No.
And that's what we deal with. you know, we deal with. There's three CMAs that, one, need to be kicked out on their ass, and I'm really tempted to report them to the state, but they're pushing the envelope. And so that's what we had a meeting about, you know, yelling at residents. That's abuse. And they it hasn't clicked in their head. By raising your voice is not abuse. Yes, it is. So that's my little my little spiel on hateful staff. So sepsis, and the only reason why I picked sepsis is because it seemed to be a big problem this week with some of the residents. And sometimes this shit can hit quick, and sometimes it just takes a while to end up getting it. But sepsis is what they call blood poisoning. I'm going to go into the... So some of the symptoms of... oh, here's the thing about sepsis. Like with a UTI, and this is the reason why I picked it. So with these UTIs, they were so sick that it ended up becoming poisoning their blood. These residents are on IV antibiotics and oral antibiotics and other. You know what I'm saying? So they're really sick. But generalized body swelling, a fast heart rate, reduced urine output, fever and chills, decrease in platelet count, difficulty breathing, mental confusion, and hyperventilation. Three of my residents out of seven, three out of seven had every one of those symptoms. That's why I knew there was something wrong. And I'm like, tender, happy ass on out of here. And they kept them. For the most part, like 4 days. One, I believe they sent home too early. So I think they sent her home way too early. Let's see. So common symptoms and their severity are reported by some people. Fatigue, pain, depressed mood, anxious mood, and stress. And if I can read this graph, I have no idea how they did this. But most reported severe fatigue with severe, pretty severe pain, pretty depressed or anxious because they don't know what's wrong with them, and pretty stressed out. And it's the way they have it, severe, moderate, mild, and none. Very few people reported none of these symptoms, and I'd be like, wow, okay. If you had none of those symptoms, God bless you. So the causes of sepsis is bacterial, viral, or fungal. And a lot, oh my God. All right. I might not be able to do a show tonight. Hold on, guys.
Come on, man. Come on. In case you're unaware, our colonel is on call. So she's currently taking the call right now. Come join the conversation. Number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Or join us live right here on Blog Talk Radio in our chat room.
Yeah, I'm working too, so sorry not to be so quiet. If you hear my phone popping, I'm sorry.
I hope
who's on tonight?
You guys are doing well there, brother.
Yeah, we're doing okay.
Miss the hell out of you.
Yeah, likewise, man. Can't wait till we hook up again.
Yes.
We have to go to another titty bar somewhere.
Hell yeah.
That's the last time I've been to one, you know that?
That was the last time I was at one, too.
Lorna with us today?
What's that?
Who else is with us?
It's just me, you, and
Colonel?
Kimberly for right now.
Oh, okay. Well, how's the family doing, Bobby?
We're doing good.
Yeah.
She's been working her butt off.
She didn't have much of a butt to work off to begin with.
That's what I always say. I always get slapped, though.
Oh, okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with your butt, don't get me wrong.
Nah, she's doing good, though.
Okay.
We're all doing good.
Yeah, how are the kids? Yeah, I haven't heard much on Facebook what the kids have been up to lately. Youngest daughter?
Doing
what's
good.
She up to?
We're doing a family on Sunday.
Nice. They're going to go see some relatives, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you heard about the wife and the husband are driving down the road and they're arguing with each other, and the husband finally got fed up with it, and he looked over out in the field. There's some cows, and he looked at his wife and he said, "Relatives of yours?" And she goes, "Yeah, in-laws." Hello, Colonel.
Hey. So long, Carl.
Until the
new nurse is comfortable enough where she don't have to be on call. I've been on call for 2 weeks. This is third week.
Well, tell the new nurse she needs to slip you some greenbacks every now and then for the assistance you're giving her, because she got the job based on
hell
her own
yeah.
merit.
And they yeah. split that shit between me and Phil.
That's right. Yeah. I can't even buy a six pack of beer today. Thank God I get paid Friday.
Yeah. I get paid. Yeah, well, it sucks when you have two jobs. Because, oh my gosh.
In life, we all have a lot of hacks. So, yeah.
No, I mean, literally, I have two jobs. Figuratively
Why?
And literally.
Why? Why? You need to make that much money, or are you just burning yourself out?
Oh, no. I only work PRN just as needed with this other, my last hospice job. And, you know, when people are, if they're sick, the PTO time or whatever. And here's the thing. I only do it at night. And I'm like, I'm back up. So, okay, figuratively, I have two jobs. But do I work two jobs? No. No.
Yeah, just occasionally.
Just occasionally. Yes. No, seriously, mm-hmm. just occasionally. And like last week, I did midnight to 8 a.m., and I had two calls. One at midnight, one at 8. I mean, go figure. You know. But, you know, this job, my full-time job, yes, I've been on call for 2 weeks. That'd be maybe a third week. And some days I get no calls. Today I've already had the same person three times. I mean, it's like it's a hit or miss, you know. Honestly, on what I get. So, but
okay. So, what's the most common cause of sepsis?
Most common cause
mm-hmm.
right now UTI.
Spreading your leg.
Do what?
That.
Spreading your legs.
Spread.
Actually, not spreading them is worse. Not spreading them is worse, Bobby.
True.
The big old chunky girls where their thighs are just rubbing and rubbing each other. They're prone to more UTIs.
Yep.
But no, is the UTI the most common cause of
in the elderly for sure.
Okay.
And the diabetic.
Yeah, or they say immune compromise, a weak immune system. And the thing is, two were diabetic. It's like in my facility, out of seven, three were septic, and they all had UTIs. But here it again, constantly incontinent, one had E. coli and her urine. And so how do you get E. coli in your urine, you ask?
How do you get E. coli in your urine?
How do you?
It's the proximity, especially in females, of the rectum and the urethra. Very short distance.
Yeah, and the fact that she's incontinent.
Especially in the elderly who have fecal incontinence, or they can't change their own. They can't clean themselves. They're wearing diapers.
Yep. And that's what happened to her.
In males, it's when they're having anal sex.
Oh, Jared, right,
Bobby?
I don't know.
Also in females, when their male partner is having anal sex and then inserts it in the vagina without cleaning himself.
Oh yeah, that's common too, and that can be any age, not just the elderly.
That's correct. And also from toys, sex toys.
Yeah, you're giving up Kim's secrets.
Yep.
Shut up. I ain't got that, so just shut up. That even got to be too much work. I'm like, you know what? I'm no. Too much of a commitment. So.
What, playing with sex toys?
Yeah, it's just too much of a commitment. I'm like, I don't even want to.
Yeah, all those porn tube videos, they are really stressing, eh?
I know, they're really just stressful. back to the incontinence, shit. Had a brain fart. Ah.
Oh, you were talking sepsis and E. coli infections with fecal incontinence.
Oh, yeah. But there was something else besides her, you know, the incontinence.
How about a catheter?
Wiping from back to front.
Well, especially in children, especially female children.
Yeah. But yeah. I know, like, a lot, with her, this one particular, and she's a diabetic, and she's has dementia, and it's one of those, it's like everything compounds on top of another, you know. And that's what I was saying about a lot of my residents. They're either paranoid, schizophrenic, bipolar, dementia. You know, it kind of sucks.
Not for them. They won't remember it.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I get demented. I'm gonna walk into that mansion and say, "Isn't this my home? Everyone else, get the hell out of here."
Oh, trust me, we have some like that. I had one today. I'm telling you, like I said, my job will drive you to drink, or do drugs, one or the other, or both. I don't know. You know, as a medical provider, we can only do so much. You know what I'm saying? One of my residents, he has MS, and he has a power chair. He's got to I can't pronounce it, where his hands are contracted backwards at Duchenne. I can't pronounce it. It's got a funny name. For the contractures of his hands.
Dupuytren.
Huh?
Dupuytren. Dupuytren?
Something like that. I can't remember what it's called. It's a two-word thing, but He has a power chair. He could walk, but he has MS, so he walks really, it's really unsafe when he walks. So anyway, when he put the power cord in the arm of the chair to charge it, he broke the damn thing off in the arm of the chair, right? And so they got him a loaner chair. The problem is the joystick to drive it is on the left side, and his left side has the contractions, and he really can't use it. He has the right hand, and it's on the wrong side. So anyway, long story short, the company that's supposed to fix it, it's been over a month. I have called this company, like, literally 15 times. And, like, well, the part's on order. I'm like, okay, cool. So, like, as soon as it comes in, I will call you and let you know. Well, it's been a month, right? A little over a month. So today, all he has to do is pull his little power chair up to the nurse's office. And I'm like, I know what you want. I can't make these people move any faster. I can't get the part from China fast enough. I have no idea where it's from. And ever so politely, he said in his garbled speech that he could, told me where to go. And I'm like, you know what? I am sorry you're upset. I can't do anything else for you. And he got pissed and screeched off in his little power chair. And I'm like, that's what I'm saying. You know, I could have gotten to a pissing contest with this guy, but it was like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. And there's just some people that just can't please. So anywho.
You can't please everybody.
No, you cannot. And
he's not demented with MS. He's just contracted, right?
Well, his speech, his body is starting to, it's really stiff. But yeah, I think he's got other issues besides MS. But his speech, does it affect their speech?
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay. Yeah, because it's so garbled half the time I can't understand him. And he does this, not sign language, but you know what I'm saying. It's kind of like, you know what he's saying, and I'm like, you know what? You're a pervert. You're a dirty old guy. Go back to your apartment. And it's and I'm like, and this is what I can't stand. He'll come out in his boxers and a t-shirt, a tank top, and I'm like, dude, one, you're in assisted living. There's other people here. Go get dressed. And he'll lift his leg up, and he says, this is for you. I said, no, it's not for me. Go. And that's what I deal with. I'm telling you, this is what I deal with on a daily basis.
There's psychology behind that, Colonel. It's kind of hard to understand maybe if you're not in that position. But you know, I had a younger male. He developed supraglottic cancer in the throat. Ended up with a trach, ended up with a G-tube, and ended up in a nursing home because they had no family to help him. Well, here you got a young male, still horny as hell, but he can't get none. So what does he do? He acts out. You get an elderly male. He's still in their mind, even in the super elderly, demented. In their mind, they still feel young.
Oh,
in their head.
He's
in their
not
head.
Old.
And,
he's only 61.
Yeah. Even a lot of males after 50, the sex drive is gone, and they have prostate issues, and they have erectile dysfunction issues, and a lot of other compounding things. But they still feel like the player. They want to be a player. Get out there. Flirt. They start since they know they can't do anything, they don't care, and so being an exhibitionist, who gives a shit?
No, I know, but here's the thing: the only reason he lives there, aside from the fact, it's because you know of being in assisted living. He's a sex. So
okay,
he's been in prison for 15 years, and he just got out probably because his MS is to the point where he can't walk and all this other stuff. So that's his thing. Well, I haven't had sex in 15 years. I doubt that very seriously.
You know Rosie and her five sisters.
Yeah, yeah, or your friend, you know, just don't drop the soap. but no, that's what happens and stuff. No, we do have a lot of guys on parole, and a lot of them. The only reason why they got out is because their health was failing, and which is one, and he's one of them has been in and out of the hospital now with COPD, end-stage kidney failure. So some of these guys, so as I said, I love my job. Yes, some of them are pretty bad. We got some pretty bad, but that bad guys, but that doesn't make my job any different than, you know what I'm saying, than taking care of someone who's never done anything wrong. So, also, some of the ways to go septic is from wounds or injuries, like burns. Another way that you could become septic is if you have an indwelling catheter or a suprapubic catheter, not changed properly, not changed once a month, you could actually become septic. And that happened to one of my guys. And super pubic catheter, and he has a colostomy of all things, and yeah, so that's other ways to get septic. So some of the complications, if left untreated, or if treatment's delayed, reduce blood flow to organs like the brain, heart, and kidneys. Reduce blood flow in the arteries, result in blood clots. Blood clots may lead to gangrene, requiring amputation of the affected limb, toes, or fingers, or whatever. Or, I forgot what this was called, DIC.
Disseminated intravascular coagulation.
Coagulopathy. Okay. So, yeah. Now, DIC, I've only seen this twice. In 22 years, I've only seen this happen two times. So what exactly happens with that?
Blood clots everywhere.
Okay. Now, do you bleed out?
No. Well, you can have a thrombus rupture of a vein or an artery from the blood clot. So, yeah, then you would bleed out. But
oh, okay. Because, see, here's the thing. When I was in nursing school many moons ago, this is the first person ever heard they say was in DIC, but this person literally bled out through their nose, their eyes, their mouth, and their rectum, and everywhere. And so that's why I always thought it was hemorrhaging everywhere. So in an extreme circumstance like that, so basically they ruptured and where they were at, they just bled out. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, well, that...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and those cases you're generally going to see in the hospital, I don't know why. Generally, a guy doesn't come to the clinic bleeding out, you know. So I don't have that much experience with it. It's just something that I had to read in the book for a test.
See, and that was my thing. It was mine. It was my first nursing job in the hospital, and I think I'd only been a nurse 2 years. And I mean, yes, it was a learning experience, but yeah, it was quite a horrific experience.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
So conditions that are related to sepsis is septic shock, and basically it's a widespread infection causing organ failure and dangerously low blood pressure. Now, when they say dangerously low, are they referring to like 70 over 40, 30, that dangerously low, or even lower than 70?
Well, anything below 90 on systolic and 60 diastolic is considered low. As it goes below those numbers, then dangerously low is basically going to be associated with the person's contractility of the heart. So if they have a good, strong heartbeat, like an athlete, low pressure is not going to hurt them as much as,
okay,
you know, an unhealthy person. Yeah,
I mean,
but yeah, so if you're talking blood pressure is 60 over 40, that's dangerously low. And a
I mean,
lot
the
of times
lowest mine's ever been is like 90 over 72 or 90 over 68. That's the lowest mine has ever been, ever. And they were freaking out over that. And I'm like, why? I feel fine. You know, is it pretty much like, are you symptomatic of really low or really high? I mean.
Yeah, and the most common symptom of low blood pressure is dizziness, syncope.
Yeah.
And death.
Yeah, I know, death. I mean, that's like the last one you really want to hear about.
Right? Hope you don't get
well,
to that.
Well, it's kind of like those commercials you hear, all the attorney commercials. Have you, and I don't know why they say this, have you or your loved one suffered from blank, 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 or death? Well, let me tell you something. If you suffered from death and you're calling an attorney, dude, I don't know. I mean, that's just, why does, it's just funny when I hear those commercials. And I'm like, I don't want to hear death as a side effect of anything.
Well, death is a side effect of everything because, what, from the time you're born, you're dying, right, technically?
Yep, you're born to die. And people don't get that. I'm like, yeah, you are. Literally everything is killing you. The air you breathe, the water you drink. I mean, literally, you can't get away unless you live in a bubble.
Yep. And even in a bubble, you have no immune system, right, if you were there all your life?
Yeah.
So.
But then again, you know, that would suck, but, you know.
This year, this past year, that said that the average age of people now, the average death is 80 years old. Believe that shit?
80?
Yep. And I think it's the CDC's way or whoever saying, let's raise the age for Social Security.
Ah.
But yeah, 80 years old is the average lifespan now for a healthy person.
Wow. You know what's scary? It was scary for me. Like you said, I know it's the average. My dad was 59 when he died.
Yep.
His mom was 74. His dad was 78. My mom's parents. Well, if my grandfather didn't go to a car accident, he probably would have lived to be 100.
Wow.
And her mom was, I think, 80 or 78, 79, somewhere in there. And what scares me is the fact that my dad died at 59 because of a lot of the health issues he had because he was exposed to Agent Orange. He had a heart attack at 39. I was 34 when I had my first one. So I'm 51 now. And you're like, the next few years are going to be like, you know, and it really has me thinking. I really would like to make it past 59. I really would. But which is why I'm so adamant about fixing shit and making sure I don't fall apart completely before I hit 59. So
yeah, some of the stuff that you've been educating us on, you might want to take into consideration for yourself, right?
Oh, I am. I am. Very much so. Very much so. Especially cardiac stuff.
Yeah, but
because
you know,
I feel that's what's going to get me.
One problem that I see with you, though, is your life in the fast lane. And another thing that's going to get you is your stress levels. And you seem like you get stressed out pretty easy. And controlling that stress, controlling that stress is one of the keys to a longer lifespan.
No, I know. I'm trying to de-stress. I really am. And I'm trying to find ways to fix things. Like, and there are other health problems, like you talk about the leaky gut and all of that, in which we need to go over that, a really good in-depth show on that. And I've been really doing a lot of research on it and going, and I'm going to bring it up to the doctor when I have to have my, I've got an upper and lower GI to have done and all that cool stuff. And getting all the issues I can get fixed, get them fixed. Because I really don't want to die at 59.
And another very common problem with patients is that they do not listen to the doctor when it comes to preventative care, the preventative screenings and all of this and that. You know, they wait till they're symptomatic, and sometimes it's too late. But you know, having a colonoscopy after 50, getting an annual mammogram and Pap smear, getting a bone density exam, you know, getting, keeping up to date on the recommended vaccines, not this fucking bullshit that they got out there with this COVID shit, but the
your pneumonia vaccine.
Pneumonia, the shingles, you know, staying up to date on that kind of stuff. The preventative, you know, you'll get a person who says, you know, especially men, I haven't been to the doctor in 20 years. And then they come in, the cholesterol's through the roof, and they have AFib, or they got something going. Men will not go unless there's something wrong. And then when they go, they just want to get that fixed, and they don't come back in a lot of cases.
Yep.
And so that's why men tend to die a lot younger than women do.
Well, so, no, I've been having my upper and lower GIs, the endoscopies, every 5 years. Like clockwork.
And
some was every three, but only because they found polyps. And they want me to have one done every 3 years.
Yep. And let's say you have Barrett's esophagus, and you don't take the omeprazole daily like you're supposed to.
Yep.
You until you become symptomatic, you're not really going to care. You're going to be you can't swallow, and then you have cancer of the throat. And
but
you're
I've
dead.
Got a resident. I got a resident who's only in his 40s, and he's got esophageal varices.
Because he's
got
fucking
a raging
cirrhosis
alcoholic.
Of the liver. Yeah, cirrhosis of the liver. That's the number one cause of that. And that's where they start vomiting blood and bleed out and die.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. He will drink until he starts vomiting blood, and then he calls up to the office. He's in his apartment. He goes, hey, I'm vomiting blood. I need to go out to the hospital. And he's out for a week. And I'll be damned, they put him on the Protonix or the Omeprazole or whatever they had him on, and they put him on, what's that one that coats your stomach? That one liquid medicine that coats the stomach. Carafate
or
something like that?
Yeah, Carafate, yeah.
So they put him on both, and what did he do? He continues to drink. It's like, okay, time. Do you have to be hospitalized for puking blood because of drinking out too much alcohol? And he's got those, you know, the esophageal varices. And it's like, at least I know that I've got to stop doing. And I have. I've stopped drinking soda. I drink one cup of coffee a day. I drink all water. You know, I'm doing these little things. You know, yes, I have slip-ups every now and then. I'll have pizza. Okay, shoot me. But you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm trying to fix broken shit. But, you know. So, anywho, another I've never heard of this, systemic inflammatory response syndrome, or SIRS. It's an exaggerated defense response of the body to a noxious stressor, like an infection, trauma, surgery, acute inflammation, ischemia, or reperfusion, or malignancy. And that's just a few of the things that they're saying, you know. And to localize, eliminate.
It's happening in kids with COVID, right?
Is that what that is?
Yeah, but they're giving it a different name, but it's the same thing.
Isn't it, was it that cascade? Or,
yes, inflammatory cascade syndrome.
Yeah, okay, that's what that is. Okay, so that's what, basically what it is?
Yep.
Oh. Just rename it, give it something new. Okay.
Yep. It's political.
Oh.
Political.
Okay. So that's, yes, and it's frequently complicated by failure of one or more organs or organ systems. So,
or organisms.
And then,
that's how
it presents itself. And the causes are,
Why does Easter Bunny hide the eggs?
I do not know.
I told you this so many times. Because they don't want nobody knowing he's dating a chicken.
Oh, my God.
Guess what new thing we're doing now for pain management? It's probably not new, but it's going to be new for me.
What?
Injecting amniotic fluid into joints.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
I guess it goes back to stem cells.
Yeah.
You can only get it from the tissue banks. I guess maybe they're storing placentas and umbilical cords and stuff like that. But it's basically amniotic fluid. And it works for some people.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe your shoulder could use some amniotic fluid. Get pregnant again. We'll get some.
My shoulder's just fine, thank you. It's my knee that's jacked up. and the same surgeon who did my shoulder is going to do my knee.
All right. He did good
on
your shoulder, though, right?
Oh, he did awesome. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to say, I love you forever. You fixed my shoulder, now fix my knee. Well, they asked me. The VA won't touch me. And they're like, no, we're not going to do it. You're not old enough to have a new knee. So they won't do it. I'm like, gee, thanks, guys. I'm not going around for the next 20 years with a knee brace on. And,
well, you know, if you had the money, I would recommend to you before the surgery, try the platelet-rich plasma injection.
Okay.
It's called PRP.
No, I know. I don't know if the VA does that.
Mm-mm. Of course, the VA is not going to be doing that.
Of course not.
Now they might do the rostral of the rooster, the hyaluronic acid, which acts as a hydraulic fluid to give you more joint space and a lubricant. That's something else. Sometimes it's called Synvisc, 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 like synovial viscous solution.
Yeah.
That is another option before surgery as well. The VA will, I believe, do that if you want to try to avoid having surgery. And your orthopedic surgeon or orthopedic doctor could also recommend that for you too as well.
Which you'll probably say shot and a cortisone injection or two in my knee.
Uh-huh.
Here's the problem. Most people, when they lose the cartilage, it wears flat. You know, evenly. Mine did not. So I've got half of the cartilage missing on the left side of the kneecap, and the right side has no cartilage. And so my kneecap slides down to the inside of my knee, so inside of my leg. So it pulls. And when it's doing that, it's pulling on the ACL, the MCL, all of the different ligaments. It's pulling on those. And that's where all that inflammation is, and that's why I can't walk half the time. And I have this knee brace on just for stability. And I even tape my knee. So, yeah, it's either a partial knee replacement or a complete. It all depends on what he wants to do. But, I can't go without this knee brace, or I don't walk. That's how bad it is. So... yeah, I guess falling off that tower kind of sucks. It's catching up to me. 12 years later. So, but I'll do anything. I mean, I'll do whatever I have to do. And if it's the injections, okay, do an injection or two, and that's it. But it didn't really work on my shoulder. But we'll see how it works on the knee.
Well, you should maybe like I said, maybe you should try the Synvisc injection, or if you can afford the platelet-rich plasma. And right now, like I said, the amniotic fluid is like cutting edge. There's a place that is coming up. They're called QC. The letter Q is in Queen, Quebec. C is in Charlie. QC Kinetics. And they're starting to pop up everywhere, and they're doing this cutting-edge technology. But it's a cash-only business, no insurance, nothing like that. They work out payment plans, other things like with folks. But they are making a difference in preventing surgeries for a lot of folks. So I recommend, family practice, I do that, and I also do pain management because the husband and wife doctor team that I work with, the wife is the family practice, the husband is the pain management. They pull me back and forth to both of their practices, and they're under the same building. And so in pain management, I've seen so many failed back surgeries and so many failed knee surgeries. They might be good for a couple months or even maybe a year or so, but eventually, very rarely do like a knee replacement, maybe 2 in 10 maybe actually change that person's life. But eventually they end up back, especially as they get older and osteoporosis starts setting in. So prevent surgery as long as you possibly can. And when everything else fails, that's when you should go for surgery. But consider all your possible options.
Oh, no. I understand that. But the only thing is, like having the knee brace. That's not a way to live, is with the knee brace 24/7 for the next 20-something years. I mean, that's just, I did the physical therapy, I'm even looking into that kinesiology tape for the knees. And I've taped, and it helps the kneecap, and it really does. But I'll whatever he wants to try and do. So, because they were being a pain in the ass. So you could let them out and put her outside. Yeah. So I only have gonna have to a little bit longer to kind of go over these last few things real quick. I have a shit ton of stuff to do for work. And I apologize, guys. So another way to go septic is pneumonia. I didn't realize that with pneumonia you could become septic.
Why?
With pneumonia.
What? Why?
No, I don't.
Why don't?
Oh, why would
what,
you
what,
go?
What, yeah. Why? What do the lungs do?
Well, you breathe. Pneumonia is an inflammatory condition of the lungs.
No. Wait. What do lungs do?
Well, it breathes. It breathes oxygen in and out of the body.
What does it put the oxygen?
Okay, into your blood.
Into your blood. And if you have a bacterial infection in your lungs and you breathe in.
Not true.
And it's putting oxygen in your lungs, putting oxygen in your blood, that bacteria gets in your blood. All sepsis is bacteria that got into the bloodstream and it goes everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what sepsis is. Anytime bacteria can get into your bloodstream, then it can go anywhere. With a few exceptions, some bacteria can't cross the blood-brain barrier, but some can, and they call that meningitis. But
which is the next one.
for the most part, I just want you to understand how pneumonia can cause sepsis. If you got a bacterial infection of pneumonia and your lungs are putting oxygen in your blood, it's also putting bacteria in your blood, and then the bacteria can go anywhere, and that's what sepsis is.
So would viral pneumonia, or is pneumonia only bacterial or fungal? Can it also be viral?
Sepsis is generally bacterial.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Viral sepsis, I don't know, honestly, but I've not heard of.
No, no,
like
I mean, can
sepsis,
a virus
but,
cause sepsis, is what I'm saying.
Well, no, yeah, well, in a secondary fashion, a virus can cause inflammation, infection in tissues and organs and other things, and then bacteria that take advantage of that can cause the infection, but it would be secondary to the virus, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, and so you were mentioning meningitis.
It's called opportunistic infections.
Oh, okay. So like meningitis, that's another one. And some of the diagnostic way is a lumbar puncture. And there is the viral and bacterial meningitis. Now, which one is deadlier, the bacterial?
The bacterial is definitely more deadlier because as bacteria makes an infection, it starts growing. It becomes a space-occupying mass. The virus, slow down. The virus kills you faster.
Okay.
Viral meningitis will kill you faster. Bacterial meningitis will kill you slower because it takes time for it to grow. But the viral meningitis, I think, is the worst meningitis as far as mortality.
Okay, because the bacteria, now, I know when they say something's viral, it means there's no antibiotics, it's going to fix it, it has to run its course. So could that be why with the viral meningitis, because there's nothing they can do, it has to,
there are antivirals. And there's monoclonal antibodies that can treat viruses.
Okay.
So there are treatments for viruses. It's just that they don't always know the right virus, and it is a little difficult to treat. But viral meningitis is, the vaccine that we have is for a bacterial meningitis. So since they have a vaccine for it, I think that the bacterial is probably a lot worse. That's my opinion. If the virus meningitis was really, really bad, you'd think they'd have a vaccine by now.
Very true. So the meningococcal meningitis. Oh, okay. So there's another one here. Okay. I can't pronounce this. Meningococcal disease refers to any illness caused by bacteria called, is it Neisseria?
Yeah, Neisseria, gonorrhea, yeah.
Okay, and that's another one.
Yeah, there's Neisseria
the
meningitis. Yeah, it's the family of the bacteria, the Neisseria, gonorrhea, Neisseria meningitis. There's different, that bug causes problems in different places.
Oh, okay. See, now what they're saying is also some complications of meningococcal is gangrene, which leads to amputation, brain damage, blindness, and deafness.
You've heard of a staph infection, right?
Yeah.
It's called a staphylococcus.
Yeah.
Versus a meningococcus. And so staph infections are really bad, which are basically skin infections. Well, meningococcal can become a skin infection that infiltrates the bone marrow. And that's how gangrene gets started, right?
Yeah. And then that's where you come up with the MRSA and the VRSA. Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. And is it vancomycin? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't MRSA a lot more prevalent than VRSA?
Yes.
Okay. Now I don't know. I'm just question. Do we always have form of MRSA or that staph on our body all the time to kill off other stuff, or is it kind of like a BS lie?
Well, no. Staphylococcus is natural to the skin.
Okay.
It's also natural to the nose. But it can, whenever you cut yourself, a little scratch, then it can penetrate the integumentary system and create an infection.
Okay.
And most infections of the skin are staphylococcus, but they're not necessarily methicillin-resistant or vancomycin-resistant. They're just regular staph. And so they're easily treatable with antibiotics or topical antibiotics.
I don't know if you guys do this in Texas or at your hospitals. You know they check for MRSA now in your nose anytime you're admitted here to the hospital?
No, I didn't know that. Not every single time you're admitted.
Oh, no, they do. They stick that swab up your nose and check you for MRSA. I'm like, why?
Hospital-acquired infections, probably, yeah.
Oh, it's true. The nose, it's not a cool thing. So the last thing they have is cellulitis. And it's a common, potentially serious bacterial skin infection. If the affected skin is swollen and inflamed, typically painful and warm to the touch, and it usually affects the lower leg, but it could be anywhere, face, arms, and other areas of the body. You could actually get cellulitis from different things. You could actually get them from insect bites. Like, I got cellulitis from a spider bite. And once it starts to spread, it does become a lot more difficult to treat, I should say. It says, usually... I've seen it last longer than 7 to 10 days. A lot of people, is it true, like the DVTs, stasis dermatitis, Lyme disease, necrotizing fasciitis, but also people with PVD, aren't they prone to cellulitis as well?
Well, what is cellulitis, Colonel?
It's an infection of the skin.
Any type of infection. Most commonly caused by bacteria, so cellulitis of the skin. So anything that will puncture the skin can cause it. Even a staph infection is considered cellulitis.
Yeah. But sometimes, like, I've seen different stages forms or stages of cellulitis where it's just really red, warm, inflamed. You know, it looks just angry, and that's a more mild. And I've seen stages of cellulitis where it's just like, wow, how is your leg still attached? You know what I'm saying? It's like one of my residents he's a diabetic, for one, and he also has PVD, and it started out as cellulitis, and now he's got a hole in his leg that tunnels 3 centimeters into his shin or into the, you know, it's on the side of his leg, but still.
And what happens if it gets into the bone? What do they call that?
You would ask that question.
Osteomyelitis.
Oh, okay. I was having a brain fart. I'm sorry.
And
how often does that happen?
Not, you know, one of the very common in diabetics, especially when they get gangrene and those infections start going deeper and it gets to the bone, and that's when they start chopping shit off.
One of my diabetic patients, he had a sore on the bottom of his foot, on his heel. When you have neuropathy, a lot of diabetics have neuropathy, they can't feel it. And it just progressively got worse, and the hole got bigger and bigger, and then the infection went into his bone, and they had to scrape, and he's going on 2 years, and it won't heal.
Yeah. Wow. Sucks to be a diabetic.
And that's why we tell diabetics, check your feet all the time, because you can't always feel, especially if you have the diabetic neuropathy. You can't feel cuts, scrapes, scratches, and all of that.
And that's why preventative care, all diabetics get an annual foot exam. They're supposed to. An annual eye exam. They're supposed to. An annual cardiac evaluation. They're supposed to. Not all of them follow through with it until they end up in those situations.
And the one patient I was talking about with the foot lost his eyesight because he did not take care of his diabetes and blood sugars. And he would go to DKA multiple times, get out of the hospital and not take his insulin, not check his blood sugar. And if his blood sugar was under 300, I was like, whoo, it's under 300. What are we going to do now? You know, and it was.
Give me some pie and celebrate.
I know, right? Give me some chocolate milk. Woohoo! So what do you tell someone who's a diabetic with, I know she's got learning disability, almost like high-functioning autistic. I don't think she's autistic, but she's up there with serious learning issues, okay? She's a diabetic. She drinks a shit ton of cranberry juice. And when she makes her Rice Krispies, she will take 15 packs of sugar and throw them into the little, you know, little styrofoam bowls that you get. They're not very big. It actually holds maybe a cup of cereal. And she'll put 15 packs of damn sugar in it. Caught her doing it today. She doesn't
ask her if she wants. Ask her if she wants to. Just ask her if she wants a glass of orange juice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I asked her. I said, you do realize you're a diabetic, right? And she has the long acting, the short acting. She's got all of it. She goes, well, I got insulin, so I should be able to eat sugar. I said, hon, that's not how it works. I don't know what else to tell her. I said, you know what happens? You start losing toes, your feet, your legs, your fingers. You start losing body parts. And it's
Let her go hang out at the dialysis center for a while.
Oh, that's the next thing too, isn't it? Yeah.
You can lead the horse to water. You can't make them drink.
True.
If they're educated, you've educated them, then you've done your job. You're no longer responsible for that person.
Yeah, but where do you draw? See, that's where I have a hard time with that because they're a resident of my facility. It's not like a patient where they come and go.
If she's a resident, then she should be on a diabetic diet and not have access to 15 packs of sugar.
Well, that's here lies
that,
the problem.
That's a facility problem. Yeah, that's not.
That's the issue. It's not your typical assisted living where it's locked doors. It's almost like an independent living with assisted living perks of we do their medications. You know what I'm saying? So they could come and go when
they
please.
Okay. As long as she knows and she's been educated, if she doesn't have the mental faculty to understand, then she shouldn't be independent.
No, she shouldn't. And that's some of the issues that we're up against because it's like some of the residents belong there, some of them don't. And they're going to find it.
If a person wants to kill themselves, there's not a damn thing you can do to prevent it.
No, I guess I'm just going to have to suck it up and you just, you know, not beat myself up over it, but still.
And you can't take it home. You can't have that. You can't blame yourself.
No, I know.
If you've done your job, then what more can you do? You can't beat your head on the wall because you're trying to save somebody's life that doesn't want to save their own life.
I know. And the only other thing I told her, I said, you know, it's like someone who's on a diet. And I said, and this is the only other option I said, my mom eats diet cookies. And I'm like, the diet cookies. But she'll eat the whole box. And I'm like, mom, just because they're diet cookies doesn't mean you eat the whole damn box. And so that's the mentality of, and it's like, you know, I'm just like talking to a brick wall.
Well, yeah, and you explain to mom that even though they're diet cookies, there are still calories involved in those cookies, and there's still some carbohydrate. And it's very hard to find zero carbohydrate. So if you eat enough of something, you're going to get high sugar.
Exactly. That's my point. So you're right. No, I'm just going to have to just change the way I think. And, you know, I've done all the patient education I could do on someone who's just not all there.
So what you do is you tell them, hey, you know, this isn't good for you. But if you choose that you want to do this, then, you know, that's up to you. Here, sign the release form.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start having people sign release forms. You know what? You want to drink and drink to oblivion, Pat?
Right, Bobby?
If you want to drink to stupidity and take your psych meds, your pain meds, or your blood pressure meds, here, sign this form because I'm not responsible for this crap anymore. And they're like, no, you can't.
I saw this episode of an old TV show called Faces of Death. I don't know if you ever seen that or heard about that.
Yes.
Oh, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yes.
And there was a guy who ended up where he couldn't no longer drink alcohol, and he ended up he got cancer of the esophagus from the Barrett's esophagus, the alcoholism. And so he couldn't no longer drink alcohol. So he got alcohol and he put it up his rectum. Well, when you put it in the rectum, it absorbs directly in the bloodstream, bypasses the liver, and you get intoxicated much faster with a lot less alcohol. So,
yep.
And he died.
I've heard of that.
Alcohol poisoning because of that. An alcoholic is going to drink.
Yep,
so
I saw that. I did
relapse.
See that episode of that.
Yep, he's going to relapse, and then he's going to fall off the wagon, and then he's going to go sober. He's going to do it, but he's only going to go sober when his life is so fucking miserable he can't stand it anymore, or medical condition where he can't stand it anymore, and as soon as he starts feeling better, he's going to go right back to that habit.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you don't change your lifestyle. You don't change your friends. They say if you lie with dogs, you get their fleas. That's like a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics. They don't change their lifestyle. They start hanging around places where they shouldn't, or they're still hanging around with the same friends who are encouraging that behavior, or the stinking thinking leads to drinking. They haven't learned to deal with their emotions. They're always going to go back to that habit.
Yep.
They find comfort in it. What do you do?
Oh, yeah.
You keep educating them until you're blue in the face. And then finally, you say, okay, you're smart, you're educated, you know what you're doing. You can make your own decisions.
Actually,
you go by,
what I did, I washed my hands of them and got divorced.
Well, you know, you could be like me. You could be a social drinker. If you have one, social eye. There you go.
That's funny. No, I know that's what it's called. No, I'm a social drinker. I have the same bottle of vodka that's sitting in my refrigerator that's been there since New Year's.
Wow. I'd like to get you alone and give you a couple shots.
I can't because I'm on call, so I can't be looking. So.
Oh, yeah. Telling no, you wouldn't be. Yeah, you can go to work all right. Yeah, but you be like, yeah, you want it? Here's the extra 15 packs of sugars on me.
Yeah. Here's some potato water while you're at it. Go ahead, drink some potato. I still want to start calling it potato water.
You know, there's this new fad out about people taking chlorophyll drops. I'm like, well, that's cool. Why don't you just eat some fucking lettuce?
Taking what?
Chlorophyll drops.
Chlorophyll drops?
Chlorophyll, yeah, you know.
Yeah,
okay. Plants make chlorophyll. Just eat some fucking green leaves, man. Get all the chlorophyll you want.
Yeah, someone asked me what's the best way to make potatoes. I said with lots of vodka. They didn't get the joke. Apparently, they did not get it. I guess some people don't know what vodka's made from.
Right. And they don't know where tequila's made from either.
Yeah, apparently not.
It's funny that they're all made from plants, isn't it?
Exactly. So I'm saying, who would have thought an agave plant would make tequila?
Right. Yeah. So it makes you wonder what other kind of intoxicating. But, you know, the thing is, medicine.
Oh, dinner, son.
Like, a lot of medicine originated from plants. And being a plant specialist, what do they call those?
The what?
What do they call somebody, like a botanist, but somebody who, like, specializes in plants?
A botanist.
A botanist. But when it comes to making, when it comes to making medication out of plants, I wonder if there's
herbalist?
A different term for it. An herbalist?
Yeah.
Herbalist, botanist, yeah. That would be, like, a cool fucking career to get into, huh?
That's what I was going to do before. I was going to go to school to become a botanist.
Yeah, see somebody walking down the street and they just pull over and start eating grass. You're like, whoa, dude, dogs do it.
Yeah, just because a dog can do it doesn't mean you can do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of plants are pretty interesting if you understand them and you study them.
Oh, yeah.
Basis of a lot of medicine.
Do what?
It's a basis of a lot of medicine.
Yeah. Oh, I know. No.
Knowing which mushroom to eat and which one not to eat.
Yeah, and that's important. You should know which one to eat and which one's not to eat. You really should.
And you know, and the opioid crisis in America is strictly because of synthetic fentanyl, and it has nothing to do with medications prescribed by physicians, but the physicians are getting blamed for it.
No, I know. I know.
It's like me as a physician assistant, as a PA in Texas.
Yeah.
They took away my privileges to prescribe type 2 controlled medications, and that includes hydrocodone, that includes Adderall, and several medications. And so my patients no longer have access those medications from me because of this opioid crisis that has nothing to do with the medicines that we're prescribing.
Oh, I know. And the VA made it as of January 1st, was either this year or last, I can't remember which January it was, not that it really mattered. I think it was last January. They're no longer going to prescribe any type of narcotic. And their whole thing is Tylenol or Motrin. That's what you get.
Wow.
They won't even prescribe Tramadol.
Not even codeine, huh? Tylenol 3.
No.
But
you
got
to fight to get anything.
Now, the other thing, like working in pain management, it got to the point where we're under such a microscope by the federal DEA that every single patient on an opioid, we have to make sure that they prescribe Narcan. Well, now they're going to make Narcan over-the-counter legal, and anyone can get it. Why? Because it's not the prescription medications that are killing people. It's the on-the-street medicines that are killing people. And so the on-the-street people who don't have insurance or access to health care, they're the ones who really need the Narcan.
Oh, no. When the VA gave me Dilaudid after my hysterectomy, they gave me Narcan. I'm like, why are you giving me Narcan? Well, because you gave me Dilaudid. You gave me 1 milligram of Dilaudid. You gave me 20 tablets, 20 of them, period. And I'm like, look, this is not even, I was fighting a losing battle, but I had to fight to get, migraine medication. And it was ridiculous. And depending on the state, depends on how many I could get. So I was at one state, I could get 10. Another one, I could get 20. Another state, I could only get 5. And I'm like, you're going to make me suffer because of idiots when I suffer migraines. You know what I'm saying? So thankfully,
yep.
Now they've got me on, they actually have me on nortriptyline and sumatriptan to control my migraines, which, believe it or not, has worked a whole lot better instead of a hit or miss and wait until a migraine hits. You know what I'm saying? It's a preventative maintenance instead of waiting until I get one.
Yeah.
I have to go to the ER,
yeah.
Which I appreciate a lot better. Yeah, prophylactically instead of, so.
Cool. But, well, listen, guys, I got to go. I love you guys.
I know, me too. That's what I was going to say. I made it an extra half an hour.
Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, no problem.
Love you, bro.
And Colonel, the last, like, 5 or 6 weeks, you've been cutting our show short. You better stop that shit.
How about too bad? I'm already stressed out enough. I'm just kidding.
And you even changed the date. You know, some of us we have time management issues.
Oh,
hello.
I'm sorry.
That's why Lorna's not here tonight. You know.
Actually, I can go back to Tuesday. I was in class. I was taking classes, and they were on Tuesday night. It would be going from work to do the show and right into my class at 9 o'clock until 12 midnight.
I'm just playing.
No, it's fine. But if you guys prefer Tuesday, let me know and I'll go back to Tuesday. If not, I will just keep it at on Wednesday.
For me, it doesn't matter. For me, it doesn't matter. So
okay.
anytime after 6 p.m. you know, I'm out of work.
Okay.
All right. Bobby, kiss Stephanie for me. Smack her on the ass and tell her we love her.
Sure will, man. You do the same.
I'll smack Bobby on the ass for you.
Yes.
My Bobby.
Yes, give her a big hug and kiss from me.
I'll lick her. I'll lick her right between the cleavage. I'll say, this is from Bobby.
I'm sure that'll go over well.
Hey, you know what today is, right? For veterans, the significance of today, anybody? Anybody?
Vietnam veterans.
Yes, sir. The official end of the Vietnam conflict.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, hey, anyway, what's going on in Syria? I mean, are we at war with Iran? And or are we going to be at war with North Korea now that they shot at the that aircraft carrier, what was it?
Yep.
Just shot a couple missiles towards the Nimitz. So what the hell's going on that they're not telling us?
I know they just recalled 65,000 troops to active
reserves?
Duty. Yep.
Really?
My maintenance guy at work was just called back to, from ready reserves onto active. So he's got to get ready to go, and they don't know where they're sending him yet, but he just got called back.
And you know, the sad thing, and my concern and worry, I guess, like a lot of folks, is that, well, obviously the government's not telling us the whole story, the truth or whatever. The borders are wide open. So, I mean, if somebody's going to attack America, they're going to attack us not just from the outside, but from the inside as well. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because they already said that there was like 76 counted CCP Chinese that crossed our border so far.
And they're in our schools and our colleges, too.
Yeah,
yep.
It's a planned thing. So,
and every single Chinese restaurant that you go to, that's Chinese owned, not you know, they are harboring these guys.
Yes,
I know that for a fact. Seen it with my own eyes. And I'm like, so, yeah. So what, you know, I'm glad I live like in a location that is really not a very strategic part of the world. So, but when they attack us, we're in trouble.
I live next to an Air Force base and 100 miles from an Army base. And the Army National Guard is here too. So, yeah.
Well, where I live about 150 miles from Corpus Christi, and that's where a lot of the oil reserves are kept in Corpus. And so, yeah, if they attack the oil reserves, you know, 150 miles away, I'm still technically kind of safe here along the border. The border, we're getting all the people crossing through, but they're not staying here in the border. They're moving up north. They're moving to other places. So, yeah. But anyway, I was just curious about all that. I'm concerned and worried. You know, Syria and Iran issues, the North Korean issues, and then the Chinese and the Russian issues. So it just seems like we do not have control of what the hell is going on.
We're either
going to be
speaking Chinese, Russian, or whatever.
And this Democratic administration, they're actually feeding the fire, from my point of view, and we're stuck with it for at least another year and a half.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if a president goes to war during his term, there won't be an election. Is that correct?
That's what I understand.
If a president is at war during an election,
but we've, for the last 20 years, we've been in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Those aren't, but a lot of those aren't considered wars, right? They're like conflicts, or they're like they have another term for them. But when Congress declares war, then I don't think they can change the president because he's the commander in chief at the time.
They can't because of the simple fact that, you know, what's happening right now, how they're everything's all Trump's fault.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, well, and that's I a lot of that is just to take the focus off the issues and just, you know, it's distraction to put it on something else.
Yeah,
not the real
smoke
issues.
Screen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, just blowing smoke up our ass because people are too stupid to focus on what's really going on. Oh, we don't like Trump, the big mean orange man who wrote mean tweets. That's all they care about.
But I mean, should we be stressed out or worried about it, or are we just should we just be the sheep that goes along with whatever, you know?
Hell no,
it's not about being a sheep. I'm just not going to sit there and stress over it because I can't stop it.
The Chinese already taught us how to bow with COVID. We no longer handshake or touch each other. We just bow to each other in greeting.
We give hugs at work. We're like,
I was just gonna say, fuck that. If you can't shake my hand, then you ain't a man.
We don't do that at work.
Remember during COVID, you got to get 6 feet apart.
You're not supposed
to touch each other. So the only way to really greet each other was by bowing, right? So yeah. The Chinese taught us a good lesson. The elbow thing?
How gay was that?
Anyway,
we don't do that at work.
God bless you guys.
All right, brother, man. Love you, man.
Yep.
I just dropped my damn phone.
Hopefully it wasn't in the toilet.
Well, no, it wasn't. Yeah. I need to go get another shot of tequila so I can hold this damn thing. It ripped my headphones off my head. Because I'm wearing headphones, so I won't distract no one else. Okay, everybody. Well, I'm going to go. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye, brother, man.
Love you.
Love you.
You guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You still there, Kim?
Did you just disappear,
Bobby?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm still here. No, I was going to say we could go ahead and end the show because I got to get back to doing paperwork.
All right.
It's bullshit paperwork. It's bullshit paperwork, but I still got to do it. It's making charts and who's supposed to be. CDD is not even doing vital signs on everybody. And I'm like, hello? 80% of our patients are on blood pressure medication and you're not even checking it. So I'm going through and making it an actual order where they have to check it or you can't prove that you gave the med, which is shit. They're really mad at me right now because I'm actually making them work. I'm making these aides work. They're really pissed. Oh, well, go get a new job.
Oh, well.
I said, go get a new job. The residents
exactly.
Like it. The residents love it because they're actually getting things done. The other nurse that was there before me didn't give a shit. She didn't do anything.
Nah, just show up for paycheck.
Yep, that's pretty much all it is. So I'll think of something new for next week. we'll see who gets sick with what, and that's how I'll pick the show for next week.
Hey, it works. It works.
Hey, I know, huh? One of those things.
Yeah.
So, all right.
That's a good thing, though.
Huh?
That's a good thing, but not for the patient. But it's a good thing that at least you're coming up with, you know, ideas.
Oh, yeah, because other than that, I'm screwed. I got nothing else. I mean, it's hard coming up with shows every week, and it's like, damn. You can only cover so many topics.
Right.
It is easier and better when you do smaller topics because then we could cover the topic, you know, really good and then talk about other things, either partially related or not related at all. So kind of spices things up a little bit. So,
it works.
But, yep.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you again for another good show. Great show, as usual. And
oh, no problem.
God bless America. God bless our children, the missing, our first responders, our military veterans, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.